Well, with the Red Sox disabled list growing longer by the day, the team is having to dig deep into its roster to field players. And with Paul Pierce opting out of his contract just today, the Celtics may have to dig deep into their pockets if they want to keep him. Joining us now for our weekly look at these and other tidbits from the sporting world is Bill Littlefield, host of WBUR's Only a Game. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Bill.
Thank you, Magna.
So let's start off with the news of the day. I mean, Celtics captain Paul Pierce announces that he's going to walk away from the last year of his contract, leave $21.5 million on the table, and become an unrestricted free agent. So does this strike you as some kind of negotiating tactic by Pierce?
Well, what he's announced is that he wishes to retain the right to walk away, should that prove to be the most attractive option. The most recent news I've heard is that Danny Ainge and Paul Pierce's agent are negotiating, so it may mean that he doesn't walk away. But the most interesting take on this comes from Tony Maserati, who covers basketball for the Globe, covers the Celtics, and he has said, you know, it wouldn't be such a bad thing if Paul Pierce walked away because it would free up an awful lot of money for the Celtics to begin rebuilding, which is something that most people agree they really have to do at this point. Their team has a lot of guys who've all grown middle-aged or old together.
Pierce is 33 right now, if I understand correctly. So, and the Celts are right at the salary cap, and this would free up that 15 to 20 million.
Would free up a lot of money for Danny Ainge to go shopping, exactly. But who knows? This is the sort of thing that athletes do in this day and age. They keep their options open, and they maximize profits. And that's what we need to expect, because that's how it works.
It is a business, after all. And I also hear that potentially next year, the collective bargaining agreement, when renegotiated, might actually reduce salaries for someone like Paul Pierce.
That is the expectation.
Wow. Well, on to Boston's other great team, the Red Sox. They triumphed last night over Tampa Bay 8-5, even though when you take a look at the dugout, it looks more like a triage unit these days, given the disabled list.
Well, the disabled list is longer than the roster was at the beginning of the season. Jacoby Ellsbury, of course, they've been without his services most of the year. Josh Beckett has one win. Dustin Pedroia out for 5 or 6 weeks with a broken bone in his foot. Clay Buchholz, hyperextended knee, that apparently is coming along very nicely. So Victor Martinez has a broken thumb. So we're dependent now on fellows like Daniel Nava, Darnell McDonald, and Gustavo Molina. And if you don't know who those people are, you will, I guess, soon, because they'll be in the lineup, or Nava and McDonald will continue to be in the lineup. It's a crazy kind of a deal. No team escapes injuries over the course of the very long Major League Baseball season, but the Red Sox injuries really have come not as single spies, as Shakespeare was wont to put it.
Well, actually, we've got a little tape from last night.
In battalions is the way they come, by the way. Just remember
exactly.
The line.
Armies of them. John Lackey, who pitched last night, here he is talking a little bit about that long disabled list.
We got some guys that are really key parts of our team, you know, not with us right now, but I don't think anybody's going to be feeling sorry for us. We still got to play baseball. We still got to find a way to win.
And Bill, what gets me is that even with this disabled list, as you said, that comes in battalions, the Sox are just one game out of the top of the AL East.
Yeah, I don't want to get too excited about this because it is only the beginning of July. But, yeah, absolutely. It's a competitive division. It looked as if Tampa Bay might run away with it, and then it looked as if the Yankees might run away with it, and now it looks as if it may be very close right through the summer.
Well, finally, the World Cup. We had some first matches in the round of 16 recently. They were both nail-biters, a lot of them, and some maybe a little bit more predictable. The U.S. had that heartbreaking 2-1 loss to Ghana in overtime. Germany rolls over England 4-1, even with one disallowed English goal. And Spain pulls through against Portugal 1-0. So your take on these first of the knockout rounds?
Well, I think that the nice thing about the most recent games is that there's been something for everybody. When Paraguay beat Japan, they needed penalty kicks to do it. Some people enjoy penalty kicks. When Brazil beat Chile, they scored 3 goals, and some people like a lot of goals, and they got Brazil scoring a lot of goals. All of the controversy notwithstanding, if you look at the teams remaining and if you look at the results of the most recent round of games, I think you have to say the better teams won all those mm-hmm. games. Ghana outplayed the U.S. England was outplayed by Germany. Brazil is likely to outplay whoever they play, so that's a constant. But the better teams have gotten through, and I think what we will see now that we're down to the last couple of rounds of games is we'll see the very best teams on the planet playing each other, and that's what the World Cup is supposed to give us.
Well, let me ask you, Bill, last question here, because as the in-house football fan that we've got, what do you make of the new call, maybe it's the quadrennial call, for that goal line technology where when referees don't make a proper call and a ball actually has crossed the line and scored a goal, that we'd maybe be able to go to the visual images that we all see on TV and get it overturned?
There are a number of ways to address this problem. One, as you suggest, is replay. Another is, in some leagues, I'm told they put a chip in the ball, which indicates when the ball has crossed the goal line, so there's no question about it when that happens. Another possibility is simply to have a judge at the goal line who always has the right angle to see whether the ball has in fact crossed the line. And that would be a simple thing. And in these days of high unemployment, it would give a job to an additional person on the field. Maybe two, one at each end. Yeah, it is time to eliminate at least that bad call. Maybe one legacy of this World Cup will be that FIFA addresses that issue.
Well, that's Bill Littlefield, host of Only a Game. You can hear him every Saturday here on WBUR at 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. And, of course, Wednesdays with us here on Radio Boston. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you, Megan.
Well, back to our conversation with House Speaker Robert DeLeo. The phones were ringing off the hook with callers who wanted to speak with him about casinos. I'm really sorry we couldn't get to all of you, but we also had a number of comments online at WBUR.org/Boston. Dana said, what about discussing gambling issues as an environmental one, and specifically about a casino being built in Middleborough? If it does, it will be very close to the state's second largest watershed that could seriously affect the area's drinking supply. Stephen was also worried about artists and musicians and performing at theaters that might be impacted by casinos being nearby. You can always comment online at WBUR.org/Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.